MediaFree.tv Podcast Network.
I feel nauseous.
Well, we're late.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 29, Ticket to Ride. And now here are your passengers, Ari Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting. Go. Guys, this could be the shortest show ever. I only see 9 clips in it, so no site business. Just get into it. Let's go.
Okay. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
No All time right. for that.
Okay,
go.
Okay. Starting with our D plot, lottery stuff. Susan asks Brandon to lend her 50 cents for a scratch-off ticket, which he does, even though he also makes sure to say he thinks they're a waste of time. Okay, Dad. God. She then also has to ask him for something to scratch with, as if she doesn't have a fucking key. And then he goes ahead and scratches for her, like, way to take all the scratch-off fun for yourself, in addition to disapproving, jerk.
While wearing his sunglasses on his forehead.
Yeah.
Like an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Well, I regret to inform you, they win $5,000. And the campus kiosk where they bought it obviously doesn't have that much in cash to give them, so they have to take it to the lottery office in Van Nuys to collect their winnings. Say hi to Andrea. JK, she's not there. You're not going to believe this, but that is the cold open of the episode. What the hell? Like, they really were just running out of energy this close to the end of the season after 5 million episodes. Anyway, at the Peach Pit, after bragging about it to everybody, they both sign it to validate it. And then later she wants to look at it again, but he doesn't have it. And neither does she. Oh, no. They have to search through the previous day's Peach Pit trash. They argue about whether to keep looking and whose fault it is that it's lost. But then Brandon is commiserating with Val about it when she picks up the travel magazine he had been looking at days earlier. And the ticket falls out. Hooray. But the next time we see him, he's at the Condor office where Susan is briskly calling him into her office for what possible reason? Oh, right, the same reason as always. Clip 2.
This better be good.
Listen, I would like to apologize for yesterday.
Now, once you start noticing how much this show makes her apologize to him, it's really all you can hear. It happens so much.
Yeah, multiple times an episode. And while she should apologize to us for the weird, like, front comb over in the, like, Giuliani in the front, Divine in the back, poof, that they're inflicted. She has lovely hair. I don't understand why this is happening to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
She should not apologize to him for anything, especially when he's back to doing that whole, like, thumbs hooked in the back pockets of his jeans cockwalk thing that I cannot stand. It's in the visual aids. Mm-hmm. You are not welcome.
Yeah. He also in the visual aids is him with the smug chin tilt while he lets her go through this whole apology for why she was, you know, upset about the loss of their $5,000 lottery ticket, which means he didn't immediately call her and tell her he found the ticket so that he could have this moment of her debasing herself in front of him because he's the worst. I'm going to figure out how to go back in time and make Brandon Walsh a real person so I can murder him because this is fucking unacceptable. Like, this made me so
angry. Ain't a court in the land. Yeah. I'm pretty sure even that judge from our last episode would be like, time served, because come on.
So he seriously lets her apologize and go on so long before showing her the ticket, and it says he'd rather lose the $5,000 than lose her over it, he claims, but they agree not to throw the money away and that they should do something good with it. And as it happens, there's a front page story about a family that lost their home in a fire, so they're going to go cash it in and give them enough money to buy a couch and half a bed, I guess. Great. Fuck this plot line is the last line in my notes. And I stand by that.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with that.
Moving on to our C plot, more Prince stuff. So Steve beats Prince Carl at racquetball, but Prince Carl is really there to undermine Steve and Claire's relationship in clip 3.
I guess I owe you lunch.
Claire said you were a poor sport.
Yeah. Well, tell Claire I've matured. She still has trouble thinking of a shred of human decency.
You're talking about the world's worst judge of character. I mean, come on. She's with me, right?
Claire always had this way of provoking me. She knows how to press all my buttons.
Yeah, tell me about it.
All my buttons.
So why do you stay with her?
I don't know. I guess we fit together in a weird kind of way. She's very smart. She's very funny. I like that about her. She has no common sense. I guess that's why she needs me.
That sounds serious.
Serious? I don't know, serious.
Oh, that'll happen eventually.
Hey, man, I'm not even legal to drink in this country. I still have a few more wild, horny, hormonal oats to sow, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I've been growing oats for a while.
I've been meaning to ask you about that. Isn't there some Princess Grace waiting in the wings for you? Somebody to keep that blue blood flowing?
There's been a couple of near misses. All right, come on, let's play.
Right on,
yes,
man.
Sir.
I guess your elusive princess is still out there, huh?
Yeah, she's still out there, Steve.
Uh-huh. Cool story, bro.
Also, like, Steve just met this guy who was Claire's friend first, like, yesterday, and he's being like, yeah, I'm probably gonna have to fuck around some more before I settle down. Like, really? You don't think this is getting back to her? Okay. Anyway, back at the Walsh house, Claire warns Steve not to get too attached to Prince Carl because he goes full throttle after things he wants and then gets bored and drops them. And Steve holds up the cufflinks as proof of their brohood, but Claire says he hands those out like gumdrops. Steve doesn't think that Prince Carl could possibly just be passing fancy for him. Sorry, I screwed that up in my notes. Steve thinks he's great. Moving on. That night, the three of them go out for some fancy dinner. Prince Carl wants to throw Steve a 21st birthday party, and Claire makes another gorgeous, disgusted face, which you can see in the middle aids. And after,
like,
dinner,
truly horrified that she's like, bleh. Like,
yeah, no part of this is anything she's interested in. But after dinner, she has to go home before her final the next morning, but Prince Carl and Steve are going to go to a gentleman's club. Woo! But the next night, Prince Carl shows up at the beach apartment in a terrible monochromatic grayish mock turtleneck suit abortion, which you can see in the visual aids, looking for Claire. And I can't improve on what you said about the outfit that she's wearing to hang out at home and study. So please go ahead, Sarah.
She looks like an extra in a German, or what final she's studying for, German pornography. Like, it's this weird lace-up. It looks like something one of Dan's stewardess dates would wear on Night Court.
Yes.
Who's flying for, like, Deutschland Air.
Yeah, she's in, like, a bodysuit with, like, I don't think it actually laces up, but it's very tight satin black, like, cropped bustier vest situation. It's, like, it's too much. Like,
yeah, like, are you... You know, are you grilling brats while you're studying?
Right.
What is this outfit? It's weird.
And her hair, again, is like blown out to Jesus. Anyway, he's got a gift for her to apologize for all the boyish pranks that he pulled on her when they were kids. It's a pearl necklace.
Oh, girl.
Look it up. He says Steve is on his way over so they can all go out to Long Beach on birthday business. She has to study and somehow doesn't just tell him to fuck off. She's not going to drive an hour to go look at some empty hall or whatever the fuck. But anyway, that's when Steve calls to make sure the plan's in progress. And since the camera makes sure to show the pair of socks that fell on the stairs out of his laundry basket on his way upstairs, we know that calamity is soon to follow. But also, who knew so many Steve plots this season would revolve around him doing laundry? That makes two. That's a lot. Anyway, while Steve is on the phone with Claire, he's hurrying down the stairs, slips on the socks, and falls at the bottom onto his chin. But it sounds like this. Clip 4.
I'm hurrying as fast as I can. Oh.
Steve? Hello?
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Was Ian Ziering undergoing some kind of, like, dental upgrade during this time in filming that necessitated this plot line?
Maybe. I don't know.
Or is it just an excuse to sideline him so that Carl can try to put the blocks to Claire?
Yeah, probably that. I haven't watched ahead to see how long his injury lasts, but... I do think, based on, like, the sound of that, his, like, as he falls down the stairs and, like, is it clashing with the music and is clashing with the seriousness of what actually happens, which is he breaks his jaw. Like, it seems
like...
You do
see his face actually bounce off the floor. Like,
yeah.
It actually wasn't bad self-stunting by Ian Ziering.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, how are we supposed to feel about this? Because it seems like no one had a conversation about how this was going to get played. Like, are we supposed to be worried about him or think it's hilarious because nothing about this scene agrees?
Yeah. And then, I mean, did they get like the National Sock Appreciation Board wrote a stern letter that was like, I think we've all learned a very important lesson about leaving socks on the stairs. Can we make this into a funny sequence? Right. That people don't start wearing slip-ons? I don't know. This was supposed to be a short episode. Right. We're moving on.
So when we see Steve again, it's the next day. He and Claire and her weirdly leonine hair and Prince Carl are all at the Peach Pit. Steve is in a neck brace with his jaw wired shut. Prince Carl offers to put Steve up at the Beverly Hills Hotel with a nurse to look after him, and there's more stuff revolving around Steve's inability to do more than murmur and Claire's inability to understand him, whereas Prince Carl can, and who cares? Moving on to our B-plot, videos and footballs. Donna's hair! Sarah, you want to take a crack at this?
My God. I mean, no Derek is what I had in my notes. Like, it's basically cornrows.
But it's fat, but like, cornrows. It's like five cornrows. It's not even like, because they're.
And then it's like this for almost the entire episode. But then it's like there's a scene in between in which it's just ironed out and she tried to curl it and probably half of it fell out. So she had to go to the cornrows again.
Yeah.
But in the second scene with the cornrows, they're held in place with little pink children's airplane barrettes.
No, they're like, those goody barrettes. I know because I had them in at the same time, but they're like, they're not airplanes. They're like little, like teddy bears and duckies and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is even more cutesy. Absolutely. No excuse. There's plenty of visual evidence of this in the visual aids. Sorry. But again, you have to know. So she and David have a stack of CDs to listen to in order to possibly come up with videos for them. And Donna is making like, clapping them together to make alligator jaws. I made a GIF because I couldn't believe that she had to insert stuff even into this tiny moment. When Joe comes up to return a book to David, and I guess so we now can see that the two of them are cool with each other now. Don't know, don't care. After David takes off, we find out Joe is about to go back to football practice for the first time since his pacemaker or whatever happened. And Joe magnanimously lets Donna off the hook from their awesome backgammon game in his dorm room so she can go prep for a big record company schmooze party. What a guy.
Oh, Joe, you're the worst. You're the human flatline. Seriously.
Yeah. The next day, she's out on the field with a stopwatch, trying to encourage Joe to think positive about how well he's getting his stamina back after fucking heart surgery. Like, honestly, dude, give yourself a break. But he briefly barks at her and then apologizes. And the record company schmoozes at our old friend Falcons. No apostrophe.
Oh, sure.
Where some broad from Warner Records, who's a CU alum, starts kissing up to Joe. And later, Joe is not having fun, but earnestly insists that Donna should stay. Instead, they compromise on leaving after the song they're currently dancing to. And the manager dude comes over to tell David he's lined them up some work for this week. And when the manager asks what David and Joe's situation is and tells David she's beautiful, David gazes at her and agrees, like, we get it, they're soulmates. Jesus Christ, the next day we see the fucking white girl cornrows from the back, as previously discussed. They're so unacceptable. She runs into Joe on the quad, and he realized what was bumming him out is that even though his football career is in the shitter, it's the only thing anyone ever wants to talk to him about. Does he even have anything else to offer? Shouldn't he figure out whether there's more to him? Moving on, because don't care. To our A-plot, Colin sucks bad.
I'm sorry, I was making a shopping list. That was a wonderful summary, I'm sure.
Val's morosely helping Colin pack up his studio in anticipation of going to prison. She can't believe this is all happening to him, as if, again, he did not make it all happen to himself. Anyway, they're both scared. Meanwhile, Kelly is about ready to leave her mom's, where she's been staying since her kidnapping, and return to the beach apartment. This is also where we find out she has to go to summer school because of all the stupid shit she did this year.
Yeah, also she's a bitch about it. Like, why do I have to go to summer school? Because you're a flaky, junky asshole.
Try not to get addicted to drugs or kidnap next year, idiot, is what I have in my notes. Anyway, the phone rings and it's just a hang up, except the soundtrack is like, or is it? Because it's Colin. And Jackie and Kelly try to make this suspenseful in clip 5.
Hello? Hello?
Who is that?
I don't know. Hang up.
Mm-hmm. Also, Colin, like, first of all, she sucks. But even if she didn't suck, like, maybe on top of being a fucking ingrate who's acting like your hurricane farter over here, could you maybe not screw over Val, who paid for your entire defense, by, like, having a heavy breather Woody for Kelly?
Yeah.
You are the worst.
He is the worst. He will get even worser than this, if you can believe it.
Yeah, neat.
We're just going to let Hurricane Farter go without comment? Because that was pretty good.
Thank you.
The next time we see Kelly, it's because Colin is calling her again at her mom's. How does he have the number? And sitting there in silence again. And Val comes home in time for him to hang up like a wiener and then start fantasizing about going on the lam in clip 6.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm glad you're back. Being alone is suddenly starting to freak me out a little bit.
I know.
I can practically hear the clock. I'm thinking too much.
Oh, thinking what?
Weird things. You know, like getting up and hightailing to Mexico. I don't know.
Colin.
Fucking a dwarf.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, good.
I guess I'm still trying to figure a way out of this. You know? I keep wondering if I'm going to change while I'm in there. You know, if things on the outside are going to pass me by.
Oh.
What if I forget things? Like what the beach looks like, or how fresh strawberries taste, or how you feel this way. So what'd you bring for the Last Supper?
Don't call it that.
That's what it is.
Well, then let's make it a late supper.
Late supper?
Why weren't you doing this already? Like, why was she out getting food? God. Who cares? After discussing
this. There's the unattractive self-pity, and then there's the fact that it's taking literally the entire length of his sentence for him to bitch about it. Like, just get, if you're going to feel sorry for yourself, do it more quickly. Take some cocaine and get on with it.
Yeah. Anyway, after discussing with Donna that she wants to get closure with Colin before he goes to prison, Kelly calls Collins, but Val picks up and they are both bitches about it in clip 7.
Valerie, hi, it's Kelly. Can I talk to Colin? What can you possibly have to say to him?
Seriously.
Just put him on. I want to say goodbye. It's Kelly. She seems to think she deserves a last conversation with you.
Does.
Tell her I can't talk.
I'm sorry, Kelly. He doesn't want to talk to you.
I love the laugh in her voice where she's like gloating about this moment because it's all she's ever wanted.
I know. And it's all she's getting. So enjoy it, Val. Glad you got to have this.
Yeah. Oof. After discussing with... sorry, I said that part already. Val lets Colin drive himself to the police station in her car to surrender. Mistake, because when they get there, he asks her to go in and find his lawyer while he goes to park. And when he goes around back, he sees a bunch of guys in prison scrubs and shackles being led onto a bus. And hilariously, as Sarah also noted, you can see in the visual aids, the car still has Die Val on it, which rare that they wouldn't have had to write in some kind of thing about her, like, miraculously having time to go get her paint finish fixed in this period.
I'm sure she doesn't have any money left. And
true,
that's not about to change.
It's not, because Colin freaks out and peels off. And in the front of the building, both Val and Crane, Colin's lawyer, are starting to get suspicious about what is actually going on. And when we cut back to them, they're in an office of the police station where we find out that they've found the car, but not Colin. And Val doesn't think he has much cash on him, so it sounds like he probably won't get very far. And the bail bondsman is also there threatening to take the club if Colin doesn't return. Oh, no, not the zeros and ones. Kelly comes home with groceries to find Colin lurking on her deck. He wants to come in, but was scared to knock. She doesn't think it would be a good idea for him to enter. And even though she and Val don't speak, she knows that he was supposed to turn himself in today and therefore definitely should not be there right now, even before he admits that he ran. And she says she can't help him. And when he asks why she called, she says it was to say goodbye. And he then forces her to say she doesn't care about him that way, capital T, capital W. But it doesn't stop the emo sludge that unfortunately ensues in clip 8.
I don't know where to go from here. Do I turn myself in?
Uh-huh.
Do I keep running? What do I do?
So you're gonna have to figure it out for yourself. I don't have any answers for you. Look, I won't tell anybody that you came here, but don't come again. You're on your own, Colin.
If only.
Yeah. Also, I won't say anything. Like, he's a fucking fugitive. Like, you have to call the cops. What the hell are you talking about?
Seriously.
Anyway, Kelly goes inside and regrets everything. The next day, she goes back over to Jackie's with a thank you basket of all the stuff that she used up when she was staying there, which is oddly considerate of Kelly. Like, so much that is, I'll say. Who told you to do this? It's had to have been Donna. She tells Jackie that she wonders if she moved out too soon and tells her about Colin's visit the night before. And this, in my notes, I have, hey, quick cue, did Kelly call the cops after he left? Did he, in fact, leave? And in the very next scene that we see them in, she's opening the apartment door to Val, who says she's looking for Colin NY in our final clip.
Yeah, I heard. But I don't know anything else about it.
Well, you called him. I thought maybe he'd call you back.
No.
Or maybe he came by here in person.
Wrong again.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Then why are you getting so defensive?
Oh, I get it. He came by here to tell you that he still loved you, didn't he? I don't have to answer that. I don't have to answer anything you ask.
Kelly, believe me, you're the last person I come to for help. I may lose my club. I may lose everything that I worked for. Please, if you know anything.
I hope he runs and runs.
This was a mistake coming here.
Then do yourself a favor. Don't make the same mistake twice.
This is obstruction of justice or aiding and abetting or many other things. I have to think you are committing a crime right now. Why are you being so defiant?
I really, really wish Valerie would just like go back to her, like the lawyer / bail bondsman and be like, she knows something.
Yeah.
Send everyone you have to the beach apartment. Mm-hmm. Fuck her.
Seriously. This is not like about you and Val having beef. He fucking committed a crime. And this is another crime he's in the process of committing. If you care about him, you should be trying to get him brought in as fast as possible so he doesn't make this even worse for himself.
Yep.
Well, that's the end. So let's do the MVP. The bail bondsman who doesn't give a fuck about Colin or the club, I'm going to say.
Sure. I'll go with Steve or INZ Ring just because that that was a nice bit of business, if somewhat confusing to the viewer to how we're supposed to feel.
Yeah, I made a gif of it so you can decide for yourself in the visual aids.
I like slapstick. Good for him.
Yeah. Least valuable player. It's so hard because Kelly and Brandon are both such fucking assholes in this episode. I don't know how I'm going to choose between them. Kelly.
I will take Colin.
Oh, yeah. That's true. He's the one who's actually committing the crime that she's covering up. So I think that's fair. Yeah.
He's also wearing a horrible necklace, being a self-pitying geese, and hiding in a ficus. Like, people, stop lurking on that deck. It's not okay.
Let's do the... Shit, now I can't find it.
That shit, I can't find it. Five things people couldn't find in this episode.
Ooh, that's okay. Actually a good one.
Yep, not a user submission. Thank you, Dave. Go ahead, Sarah.
They couldn't find the lottery ticket.
They couldn't find an understanding of the legal process.
They couldn't find Colin.
What are you doing?
This is shit they couldn't find.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. they couldn't find a reason for Joe to exist on this show or in general.
And Steve couldn't find his feet.
There we go. That makes five.
Sure does. Thanks, Dave.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Dave.
Next time on Again With This, it's a shame about Ray. Pruitt, that is. He's back. And both Colin and Joe are splitting town just to avoid the guy. Just kidding. There's nothing funny about our visual aids, however, and you can find those for this and every other episode of Again With This on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previouslytv, and you can follow this podcast at AWT90210. I'm square root of one, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. I'm here with my co-host, Hot Ticket, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. Our producer is David T. Cole, token cufflink, David T. Cole. He's on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
Hello?
Hello?
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.